Hello everyone, John here with End of Effort. Today I wanted to share something with you that is one of those moments in time where you have like a holy epiphany happen, right? It's just this light bulb turns on, and it's during a period of the 14th day of really what we call, Amy and I call, the End of Effort experiment. And we've chosen to embrace a totality of a whole lifestyle change in our health, getting in shape, and really mindsets, old paradigms falling off and ending our effort. You know, the name of what we do is called the End of Effort. God has changed it a few years ago because of where we were headed. And you're going to be hearing us talk a lot about what that means specifically, but it has a lot to do with efforting in every way in our own strength versus being inspired to act through His empowerment, God's empowerment, love's empowerment. And so when that happens, things become more effortless rather than efforting. And a whole lot of us, me at the top of the list, have been efforting for years. And it's really taken a toll on every area of our lives. You know, you look at society, and you can see it right and left. But what the Lord was showing me today was something that I wanted to know but didn't want to embrace. You ever have those moments where you ask God something but you kind of really don't want to know the answer? And this had to do with patience, you know? And even when I say that word, you know, that's either going to make you cringe or you're going to say, oh, yeah, I have some patience. But I've found that most people want to resist it or don't really like that word because they've been in the waiting for so long, or they felt like they've been deprived or denied of a certain thing or a dream or a relationship mending or whatever it may be, right? You can think of probably 10 things right off the bat when I mention it. So today, for me, it was the big P, the big patience word. And what he showed me, and it was in the gym of all places. I'm sitting there working out, and Amy and I just had this discussion, and it was more of a frustration with me of some things just coming out. What I liken it to, and it's kind of gross, but is a blister popping. And when something comes to the surface, you know, the poison is coming up and out because I'm on a 14-day major diet change. And you know, I've been denying myself of some bad food. And, you know, it's a combination of things, right? But it's really the timing of God right now to unveil this. You know, I'm coming to understand more and more that things, when we're ready for them, they come. Meaning when we're a vibrational, a frequency match on the inside. And that's not a New Age term, friends. We're made of energy. Just keep remembering that. Religion will tell you something different, but remember, you are made of energy. You're just a mass now and a lump of clay called bone and flesh, flesh and bone. Anyway, you get the point. So I'm ready now to hear what he has to say in this area of patience. And so what he showed me was that I had been treating patience like a stepchild or an enemy, by saying things like, I don't have patience, or who needs patience, or, you know, oh man, I got to be patient again, or yeah, that P word, be careful not to pray for patience because you might just get it. All those things that we say or think really are negative in nature. And what he showed me was that picture patience as a person, because it really is. It's the person of the fruit of the Spirit, the personality of a character trait of the Spirit of God. So, but he just said, look, in the context that I'm showing you, picture patience as a person like wisdom is. And so he showed me patience being rejected and abandoned by me. So if patience were a person in your life, think of it this way. How do you treat Mr. or Mrs. Patience if they were to even come near you? And so showing me this abandoned, rejected, ostracized, demonized person called patience. And I began to just weep, really. My heart sunk and I was like, wow. So I found myself asking patience for forgiveness. Say, I'm sorry how I treated you. I treated you like an enemy instead of my friend. Because if you really ponder this for a minute, my friends, patience is a fruit of the Spirit, or a trait of the Spirit of God in oneness and in union with you. That's where the Spirit of God lives and dwells and moves and has his being and in us. We're one with him. And because we are, it's a character trait. It's really an attribute of love. And because patience is a big part of the first three on that list, love, joy, peace, patience, first four, love, joy, peace, patience, of that verse, it's like it's a biggie, right? But here's what else he showed me was I had done that. I had rejected and abandoned and ostracized and really just thrown patience to the backseat of the car, threw patience under the bus, is that now that I've asked patience to forgive me, so to speak, this is all just kind of how he's working with me, friends. Don't make the theology around this, okay? Please. I'm just sharing with you an experience. Because I did that, now the mind, the conditioned mind says, now you have to be patient. And that just as soon as that thought came, another one came and said, well, of course, but now you have acceleration. In other words, picture patience coming from the back seat of your Ferrari or your race car, because you are one in the Spirit. Picture him moving from the back seat to the driver's seat. Well, what happens when patience is allowed to drive the car in your life? Well, first of all, patience equals safety. Think about that for a minute. Patience equals safety. That's the first and foremost, because the most patient person in the world is God. The most patient person walking in human skin on the earth in God form was Christ. And because he was patient, he was long-suffering, he was kind and all the rest to people, they felt completely safe to come near him and embrace him, run up and tackle him and, you know, love on him and hug him and kiss him and all the rest, right? So patience is safety. And because you've allowed patience to now get in the driver's seat and drive the car, you're not only safe, but you're driving in acceleration. So in other words, when patience comes to the front seat and is allowed to drive the car in your life, to drive your car, you don't have to worry about waiting another 10 years for something to manifest in your life. Once you've embraced patience and you feel the safety, now you're safe enough, feel secure enough to let go. And when you let go, this is when acceleration happens. Have you ever noticed that in your life? When you've really finally let go of something you really want, whether it's a mate, money, the dream home, a calling, whatever, your dream vacation, whatever it may be, a child coming home. And when you've truly let go in your heart because you felt safe enough to let go and trusted God enough to let go, then you let patience come to the front seat and drive the car. Now an acceleration takes place in the Spirit. Once an acceleration takes place in the Spirit, look out. This is when things get fun, because when you've let go, you forget about it and you start enjoying the ride. You start enjoying the journey. You start enjoying the present moment of patience driving the car, and you have fun going fast because you know you're safe going fast. And because you're lost in the moment, wham, here comes the blessing. You come up on it 100 miles an hour and there it is. It comes and jumps on you just as much as you're coming towards it, and you didn't even realize it. And there it is. It manifests. So letting patience have its perfect work is not an inactivity. letting patience have its perfect work so that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing, means that once we befriend patience, allow patience to come from the back seat into the front seat, into the driver's seat, allow patience to do its work, which, what is that work? It's the working out of maturing in you to let go of something that you didn't feel safe in to begin with. You ever notice that? That when you're wanting something so desperately, you don't really feel safe. It's more fear-filled. And when it's fear-filled, then it pushes that very thing away because fear doesn't attract, it repels. You know, it does attract. It attracts the wrong kind of things in our lives, but you know what I mean? It's like the fear thing pushes the very goodness of what you want to have come in your life. And so just the opposite happens when you're dwelling on all good things. Think on these things, things that are good, true, lovely, and a good report. Things that are wonderful and filled with bliss. Things that are good and innocent and pure. Then you attract like to like. Like attracts like. And so when we're avoiding patience, when we're throwing it under the bus and we're saying, I can't stand you, then is it any wonder why we don't have the things that we really want in our lives? Because we haven't let it work its entirety in us. We haven't let completeness or fullness come to our lives. In other words, when I'm complete and entire, lacking nothing, and I'm content with Christ and Him alone and in my relationship with Him, and I still have dreams and hopes and wants and desires, right? But I've let go enough to realize and understand that the safety that patience provides actually brings all good things to my life. So I can trust Him enough. I can trust Christ enough to allow those things to come in their timing and in their way. And guess what, friends? A lot of times those things come quicker than you realize, because now we feel the completeness in Christ to let go, and now we're in a posture or position of not letting those things dominate our lives, the material things, the things that are seen, not allow them to lead or rule us. It's the I'm content no matter what. I am satisfied in Christ no matter what. And I'm in love with Him, and that's all. It's my all in all. And when I'm satisfied with Him, when I'm satisfied with love, then this is when the safety enters the picture to bring you good things. And here's why that's important. When the good things come, they can go right through your hands to someone else. But when you don't feel safe, when we don't feel secure, when we feel impatient, when we are being ruled by fear, then we feel that we have to cling on and hold on to those material things. We feel like we have to hold on and bite down or clench down even harder, because after all, I fought and scratched my way, clawed my way, strived my way, sweated my way to getting these things. And man, I don't want to have to wait another 5 years to do the same thing. Hard work bringing me what I need. So just something to chew on, and this is still unfolding, but I wanted to get this on audio because it's helped me to the point, even in this short time, to the point where I felt a major release just lift off of me in the gym. And of all places where you're lifting weights, this lifted off. This whole generational thing of impatience, wanting things now and making them happen now. And this is especially challenging for all of you type A driven individuals that make things happen. I'm really heaven bent on doing the Great Commission at all costs, at the cost of my health, at the cost of my family, at the cost of my loved ones, at the cost of you know, breaking all the china in the china shop. Who cares? Because I have to do the Great Commission at all. We have to win souls at all costs. And it doesn't matter the wreckage and the carnage I leave behind, because it's all about souls. Well, my friends, that is a whole lot of religion right there. I am going to be the first to say it, or one of the many who have said it over the generations that have had an epiphany, that the greatest commission of all is allowing yourself to let go into the safety of things like patience, so that others can be attracted to the safety of patience in you and I in order to hear the happy gospel, to hear the glorious good news of who Christ really is apart from religion, the non-religious Jesus, as I often say. I am so glad that I'm allowing room for the religious Jesus to move aside in my conditioned thinking, so that the non-religious Jesus can be known in his fullness inside of me. That's the Jesus I want to know, and that's the Jesus the world, the humanity wants to know. The religious one puts rules and conditions on people that they cannot add up to, and we wonder why we have so much schizophrenia going on in denominational Christianity. It's an epidemic. But it's changing. Good news. It's changing. Things are changing. And I'm so happy. And it begins with us individually, right? It begins with you and I individually. And when we embrace the person of patience, just picture that patience as a person in your own life, however you want to picture it, however the Lord shows you what patience looks like, and then treat patience as a best friend. Embrace patience. Hold it. Speak well of patience. Speak to patience as if patience was your best friend and you're having the time of your life. In doing so, I promise things will begin to accelerate, because now you've let go of the resistance in your life that's been pushing things away, and you'll begin to open the door for those accelerated events to happen, the suddenlies of God to come in and dwell with you and be a part of your life for however long. And then you can in turn turn around and bless someone else. By all means, if God says, hey, this is yours for a lifetime, then great. But if he blesses you with something else, then you're free enough and you're safe enough to bring safety to someone else. All right. Thank you, friends. And love to hear your feedback on this.